So, we're going through Romans, and I'm really thankful that I got to preach this weekend because I didn't feel like it. I told you guys I'm going through it. Everything's okay, but I got teenagers, man, and it's just, enough said. But, I didn't feel like preaching, and and even Joe said, I know you're going through it, man. If you want me to preach on Sunday, I totally will. And I said, you know what? No. I have a job to do, and I don't want to let the devil win. I don't want to let the devil win. I'm gonna continue to move forward in him. And it was cool because, studying for this, I learned something. And I'm not afraid to tell you that. I actually, there's part of me that is fearful because I'm supposed to know it. I think I'm supposed to know everything, but I don't. So it was cool to learn something, and I'll share that with you today. But so we pick it up in chapter 7. I'm going to review a little bit of chapter 6. I think Joe was at the tail end of that. And then we'll go through chapter 7, and I may touch on chapter 8. I don't know. I didn't last service, but... we're picking it up. Paul is writing a letter to the Roman church from Corinth in between 55 and 58 AD. And last week in chapter 6, Paul established that we, now being crucified with Christ, are dead with him in his crucifixion. Therefore, we are also alive in his resurrection. So, am I like the only one here that feels like this is one of those stoner moments? Where it's like... So let me get this straight right now. We're dead in him, but we're also alive in him. And we can't see him or feel him with our hands, but we're dead and alive in him, right? It's like, I get it. Because I'm reading this, I'm like, wow, that's a lot to take in, man. That's a lot to wrap your head around. Because here's the thing, I've said this before. We have five senses. This is how we gather our information here on this earth. Sight, touch, taste, smell, and hearing. Yeah, sound. Thank you. None of that makes sense to the things of God. None of it makes sense to spiritual things. Because I can't smell, taste, or, do any of those things with the truth that I'm dead in Jesus, yet I'm alive in his resurrection. But we're going to talk about that today because I want to connect the dots. I want to connect the dots between the law, the Ten Commandments, and the grace that we have with Jesus and our part in this walk because it's a battle. And I think we all at times get frustrated in the battle. So let's look at that. Paul also says at the end of chapter 6 that we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to Christ. So where we were bound to fall short, bound to live in debauchery, bound to do things against God's will, bound to do things against his laws, against his precepts. Again, we were bound to sin. We were slaves to it. But when we said yes to Jesus, we automatically said, okay, we are no longer a slave to the old ways. I am not living. I'm turning from that way and I'm turning towards you, Jesus. So now I am making myself a slave to you. The revelation that to be alive in Christ means not only are we free from sin itself, but we're free from the power behind that sin. Romans 6, 22-23 says this, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So it's saying now that you have been set free and become slaves of God. So what does that look like? Well, if I'm a slave of God, that means I'm around him a lot. I'm his slave, right? He's telling me what to do. He's, you know, he's my master. Here's what you do, Chris. Good morning. Here's what you do. Love people. Forgive people. Give grace. Give mercy. Be kind. Take the high road. Tell the truth. Rely on me. I'm your power. Walk it out. I'm a slave to him. So then, now in my natural being, when it hits the fan, and my natural man, that is unspiritual, very unspiritual, I call him a scumbag. It's real. Some are sicker than others. I'm like one of the sickest. It's okay. I love myself. I know I'm God's creation, but I can't forget who that old guy is. You understand? And I remind myself that I'm one bad decision away from that guy going right out of the grave. You know? If I am not a slave to God, if I'm a slave to God, I'm in his word. I'm in his presence. I'm hanging out with you. You know, like this morning, I needed to be here with you guys. First service, I had a huge breakthrough. I'm telling you, I'm tripping on my kids right now. But I came in here and I was reminded how big my God is. Bigger than my kids and their stupid decisions. Oh, yeah. Woo! You know, I needed that. I needed you. I needed that fellowship. I know you're praying for me and my family. I need that. Just like you need me praying for you and your family. And I am, guys. We're slaves to Christ. What's the result of that? Holiness. If you and I, we claim, we're slaves, we're no longer bound in sin, now we can focus. Now that we're no longer bound to sin, we're not slaves to sin, we're slaves to God, now we can focus on getting well, receiving his word, learning his word. Who am I? What rights do I have? As your child, God. The growth begins because now I am, and by the way, I'm stumbling and bumbling the whole way. You know what I mean? I'm falling short. I am sinning in that. Now, I'm no longer bound to that. I can repent. I ask God to, God, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me. And then I continue on. And if I need to ask for forgiveness again, I do it again. But I know God is faithful. And it's about where your heart's at with this. If you don't care, God knows you don't care. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like, you know what, God? And I use this as, I'll pick this up a couple times this today. You know? This is your sin right here. You know what I mean? If you're like, Lord, help me. Help me get rid of this. I know it's bad. You know, there's a difference. Like, God, help me get rid of this. Oh, God. Ah! Oh, God. Ah! There's a difference. There's a struggle. That's what we go through. That's what we're doing. Amen. Or am I the only one? Oops. Okay, so we pick it up in chapter 7. We'll move on. Romans 7, 1 through 6. Do you not know, brothers and sisters? For I am speaking to those who know the law. He's speaking to us. The Ten Commandments. That the law has authority over someone only as long as that person is alive. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she's called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. Just like the law of marriage only applies to somebody who's alive, the same the law of God. So this is why it's so important for us to understand that Jesus died. Our husband died. We're the bride of Christ. Amen. And I know that, you know, some of you guys might have a hard time being, you know, feminized like that. Get over it, dude. God's God. He's way better than me and you. It's okay. But anyway, he died. We're no longer bound by the law that he gave us. God gave us those laws. He died. Jesus died. We died in him. We died with him. So we no longer are bound by those laws. This is what the scripture's saying. So, verse 4. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Why? In order that we might bear fruit for God. I'll finish. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Here's the deal. The Ten Commandments were given to show us that we needed a Savior. To show us that we cannot hold up to that. Now, Jesus died to that. We ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. We die with him. We are no longer bound to that stuff. We are alive in Christ. Why? Why would he do this? Why? Because you and I will never live up to those commandments. We will always fall short of those commandments. And so with that brings condemnation. With that brings death. With that brings me not, you know, feeling like a powerful child of God. I wouldn't be standing up here with fire this morning telling you about this if I felt condemned. Or if I didn't have something to set me free from this, because this is causing me to die. But God wants more for us than that, right? So here's the thing. That way, because of this, because of what Jesus did, because we are resurrected in the life of Christ, because now we now no longer live a life by the law, but we live a life in the Spirit with Jesus, this gives us the freedom to have a bad day, to blow it Thursday morning. Dang it. God, I'm so sorry I did that. Whatever it is, Lord, help me, Jesus. And lunchtime, Thursday afternoon, I'm at 7-Eleven, or the gas station, or the grocery store, or the job site, or my house, and somebody needs a word from God. I'm not condemned for what I did this morning. I'm not living in death and condemnation for what I did this morning, because I would have nothing to share with this person. I would have no hope. I have no light. I would have nothing. I just sinned this morning. I just agreed that the law is good and I should die. But the fact that I am allowed, we are allowed to be alive in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that I didn't mean to blow it this morning, but I did. But this person needs a word from you, God, and I think you're going to use me. So I'm going to allow you. I'm going to step out in faith. And all my brokenness and all my weakness, you are strong. You told me I could still, without condemnation, I can still serve you, Jesus. Why? Because I'm your slave. How I behave and do this and do that and all that, I mean, it should reflect that I'm owned by Jesus. My life should reflect that for sure. But there is no way that I am going to live a perfect life. You know? I've already blown it today, I guarantee you. You know, I'm gonna be honest with you, I could get a hold of my mouth a little bit. You know, I cuss more than I think a pastor should. to be honest with you. Yes, I'm agreeing with you, Lord. It's time. Let's work on it. Let's work on it. But that's the truth. And that's just one of the things, many things that I, you know, need to work on or am in process. But listen, that's the beautiful thing. Because if I believe His word, then I know who I am. Then I get to still be a part, be a good slave, be a good, you know, family member. Slave might be too much for you to take in right now. You're a family member. You're closer than a brother. You are family, royalty of God. So you, I mean, and it's not to boast, because remember, scumbag, without Jesus, with Jesus, productive, a giver. You know, the good Chris Jones in here, the one that wants to tell the truth, that wants to do good, that wants to follow God, that wants to tell the truth and take the high road, the guy that wants to love people and show grace and mercy, that guy agrees with God. He agrees with everything God says. But the sin that lives inside of Chris Jones is constantly drawn to sin against that. And I think every growing Christian understands this experience. As we begin to read and understand the Word of God, our mind becomes to change, and so do our desires. We start to see deeper in our own hearts, and we discover that the sin that we didn't even know that we had were there. So we begin to grow, and I, you know, I think this is an okay visual, but I asked God to help me because I made a connection. I've read these scriptures a bunch, man, and I must have just kind of like sped read over them or whatever. But I really connected the dots. Okay? So, sin. Oh, I think I might be. Let's go to Romans 7 real quick. Let me read this first. Hang on. I got this. Okay, right here. Right here. All I needed to do was continue in verse 5. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions were aroused by the law. See, Paul lets us in on a little secret here. And this is what blew my mind, which I'm stoked on. Because, see, I thought every time I sin, it was just me. It was me. Because I suck, and I couldn't live up. And subconsciously, I know the word, I know how free I am in Christ, I know all this stuff, but every time I fail, it was like, dude, you did it again. It's you. Paul is telling me that it's not me. It's the sin inside of me. It's the sin, it's the sinful body, it's the sinful nature. There's a difference. Now it's a thing. Now it's not me. Something confusing about me that I can't do anything about or figure out why I do what I do and this and that and that. It's the sin inside of me. The law. When God gave the law in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, the sin inside of us, it aroused it. Our failing bodies, our failing flesh was aroused by the law. Oh, we will sin against that. We will miss that mark. It's the sin in us that draws. It helped me out. It helped me out to like look at it as a thing. Because now as I'm talking and we continue to grow and we learn the word, right? Because we start out and you know, we don't really know who we are in Christ and we don't know what we have coming and we don't know the authority that we have over sin. When we begin to realize that, when we begin to realize that we are no longer bound to those things. And I'm going to use an example this morning. It worked in first service. I'm going to do it now. Porn. Okay? There was a time in my life where I struggled with that. There was a time in my Christianity that I struggled with that. But I kept praying about it. God, I know this isn't good for me. I know this. Help me. But I'd be driving home from work. I could feel it rise up in me. Oh, nobody's home. Just going to be you. Early day from work. Nobody's there. I could feel it draw. Continue. Pray, pray, pray. So now, like, and praise God. I believe I've been delivered from it. I haven't been struggling with it. I mean, the drawing's not there. It's been a process. I'm not even saying I won't ever look at porn again, guys. I don't know. I hope not in the name of Jesus. It's unfruitful. It's a waste of time. It doesn't bring me closer to my wife, for sure. Doesn't mean bring me closer to anybody. But anyway, so I realize now... What's your takeaway from today? Well, Chris struggled with porn. I know that. Dang it. Cat's out of the bag. Darn it. Okay. So now that I see, and it could be anything, anger, resentment, whatever. Guys, whatever your thing is, whatever your get down, whatever that habitual thing that keeps drawing you, gosh, you know, it could be anger for me too, okay? You know, so I feel it drawing me. The opportunity's there to make a decision, to step into it, to go with the sin. The Bible says now I have the power. I have the power to go, nope. Nope. Not today. Not today. Now I can pick it back up. But I'm no longer a slave to it where I didn't have a choice. There was a time where I didn't have a choice. It was just what I did. There was no choice there. I was going to sin against God. I'm going to sin against myself. I'm going to sin against other people. And there's no choice. I have a choice now. I am a slave to Christ. Therefore, when the sin starts to draw me, and now I know that it's not me. It's not the true self. It's not the true self that loves God, that loves His Word, that loves people, that loves the truth, that loves the high road, that loves to pour out grace and mercy because He knows or she knows that you're just, you know, we're all just trying to do the best we can with what we have, and we need grace just like they need grace. The goodness, that's the good, the real you. The sin is what causes you. You know what? F that guy. You know what? You know, you just said that. You said that to me? You're going to talk like that to me? Oh, yeah? I'm going to hurt. You know, I'm coming at you 10 times worse. I mean, that's the way I did it. I'm super sensitive guy. So if you hurt me, I'm going to come at you 10 times harder. Verbally, physically. That was the way, you know. That's one of the downfalls of being uber sensitive. Like, I might look like I'm a tough guy, but I'm really sensitive. So... please be nice to me. But it's something that I've had to deal with, for sure. For sure, because that, it would cause me to fall short. But I receive your breakthrough, Jesus. I receive the fact that you say that I'm no longer a freaking slave to that. And now how do I stay in that? How do I stay in that? I must be in His Word. And I know I hammer that, but it's true. Because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know the Scripture that tells you that you can overcome, that you are an overcomer, that you're the head and not the tail, you're above and not beneath, that the devil is under your feet. Why? Because he's under Jesus' feet. That Jesus, by the power of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do all things, all of them. In Christ, we are free. We must learn that. Because, see, you could. Some of you might even remember what I just said. If you're like me, dude, by lunch, you'll be like, what did he preach about again? It was like Jesus and Ten Commandments. But it was good, but I, you know. That's the way I roll. I want you to remember you're powerful. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Why? Because you're His family. You're a slave to Him, not a slave to sin. The Ten Commandments were just given to show us how bad we need Jesus. And without Jesus, we're dead. But in Him, we are so alive. We are so alive. Even in our brokenness, we are so alive. In our brokenness, we are useful. In our brokenness, we can be a contributor. That we aren't a victim. We are victor. Why? It's only because we belong to Him. That no matter what happens, God, You have a perfect plan for me. And even though I don't understand it, or even maybe even really believe that, I trust Your heart. I trust with what faith that I have, what little or great faith that I have, God, I just trust Your heart. You have something good that you'll make out of this. So let me walk in faith. Like, then I start asking Him, give me wisdom. You know, let me walk a faithful walk through this, God. Give me the ability to take the high road. Let me tell the truth through this if there's a choice of lying and manipulating or telling the truth. Help me do that. Help me walk through this, the toughest time in my life, like I look like I belong to You. You can pray that and He will be faithful to you. And again, it's not just the prayer, right? We have a part in this. So what do? I get in His Word. What do? I get with You. We pray. We worship. We praise. That's what I do. That's what we do. And we reap the harvest. Romans 7:7 through 11 says this. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not know what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin seizing the opportunity, you see that? Again, He's saying, it's not you, it's not me, it's the sin. Sin seizing the opportunity afforded by the very law that God gave us. By the commandment, produced in me every single kind of coveting. It says, don't covet. Every single kind of coveting came out of Him. This is the general of the faith. This is the guy that wrote most of the New Testament. This is Paul the Apostle. He is struggling. Should give you hope. But he's letting us know he's tripping too. It's not me, man, but something just keeps wanting to do it. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin sprang into life, and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. The law reveals sin and our desperate need for a Savior. The law arouses sin like a magnet attracts steel. Something about human nature causes us to rebel against God's laws and His rules. The law kills, and the penalty for sin is death. Sin takes something that is good, like the law, and slays you with it. Something is terribly wrong with this predicament that we're in. Amen? In Romans 7, 14 through 24, Paul says something really that I resonate with. And he says this, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Preach it, Paul. Sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. I feel you, Paul. I feel you, man. The law is still good, even though I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do. Verse 17, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. This is Paul. Yes. Yes, it's not just us, guys. Yes. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin is living in me that does it. See, the dots are connected. We can battle from a different position, I think. At least I don't know. I had the, now I'm not like battling with myself. I'm battling with that. And I maybe I should have known that already. I don't know. It just kind of really came into focus for me. And that's awesome when I can call something like that a thing and go, no, not today, Jesus. Not today. That is unfruitful. That is not going to bring joy. It's not going to bring life. It's going to bring death. So I choose. I choose. Little example. I mean, and I'll just use lust. Lust. It's a pretty general thing. You know, you're out of place. You see somebody and you're like, That's you just sinned. You just fell short of God's glory because you know, for that split moment, and you can call it appreciating God's creation. Because that's what I do. That's my excuse to him. But the truth is the truth. And in that moment, my flesh is like, what's up? But I'm no longer a slave to that anymore. You see, if you play that out, you start, you know, cheating on your loved ones. You start doing things that you shouldn't do. You start putting yourself in places and saying things and doing things that you shouldn't if you let that play out. But you're no longer a slave to that. So when you go, you go, okay, that's it. Look away. Hi. You know, whatever you got to do. And I mean, and that goes on constantly. It's one of those things that I'm constantly, you know, it just is. Why? Because I live in sin. My body is diseased with it. Okay? So don't get frustrated. Don't just get discouraged. Don't be like, you know, I can't do this. Just forget it. I'll live a whatever life. That way, it's, you know, it'll be so much more relaxing without these rules and regulations over my head. God's laws and this. No, it's not an easier way of life. An easier way of life is really getting plugged into the freedom that is in God's ways. And it's really in the freedom in Christ is amazing. It's beautiful. Because now you get to grow. You get to make mistakes. But none of it's in vain. Your mistakes are actually helping you get there. You know, because God already sees you flawlessly. You are covered in the blood of Jesus. You said, yes, Jesus, come into my life. With what little faith that I have, I believe that you died for my sins and you resurrected and you're alive today. I don't really understand it, but I need you. I want to understand it. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Change me. Make your word come alive to me. And the process begins. And that's called sanctification. Positionally, you're saved. Baby, you're in the family. You're good. Eternal life on its way. That's why we don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to be afraid to die. That's awesome. You know how many people are afraid to die? Those people don't know about eternal life. They don't know about a living God with hope and grace. And that just the beauty is that it's just a transition into something so much better. So much better than this. There's beauty in that. The law can't change you. The law was given to reveal God's holiness to us, and it helps us see our need for Him. The old nature knows no law, and the new nature needs no law. The law cannot transform us out of our old nature. I don't know why I keep pointing over there. I'm just pretending that the Ten Commandments are hanging there, I guess. The Ten Commandments, won't change us. It won't transform us. Love, grace, and mercy are the ingredients of transformation. It's God's love. It's His grace and His mercy on us. It's that very thing that I'm encouraging you in this morning about being a child of God and walking with Him in Christ. You don't need to be condemned in your sin. You're not bound to it, though. So don't just allow it to run you anymore. Really get this, that you are a slave to God. You are no longer bound to that. You don't have to do it anymore. Whatever it is, you don't have to do it anymore. And the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's Word, that's what's going to give you the breakthrough. And it's love and His grace and His mercy that will pour over you until you get it. He will pour it over you until you get it. Because His best for you is for you to be free from that stuff. His best for you is to be free from unforgiveness. His best for you is to be free from addiction or alcoholism or resentment or anger or that thing that you're hanging on to from your past that hurts so bad. It messed you up so bad you don't ever know if you'll be the same again. He wants to deliver you from that. That's not His best for you. That sucks that happened to you. It's not okay. But your life is yours. Do not allow that thing to dictate your future any longer. You are free in Christ. You are free from your past. You can agree with it. You can call, yep, that happened. Yes, sir. And I do, you know, I have feelings towards that. I have, you know, I'm sad at some things that I did. I'm sad at some things that I said. I'm sad at people that I've hurt. It doesn't make me feel good, but I am not bound to that. I am not that guy anymore. In fact, I declare that I'm not that guy anymore. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a contributor to society now. I build lives, not tear them down. And I am full of the Word of God. I am full of hope. I am full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is all of us, guys. You could preach yourself right into a powerful mood. No matter what, a Tuesday at 12:30 in Irvine in your truck. Just begin to praise and worship and it's like acknowledgement. And man, your whole day will change. The Spirit of God will fill that truck. You're probably going to start crying because I always do. And because the presence of God is gnarly, right? I'm just so wretched. Oh my God. You're so good. Why? I love you. You know, like. But you can have breakthrough anytime, anywhere. And that's for you. Ain't no devil in hell, no man on earth can take that from you. The law cannot enable you to do good. The only way you and I turn from our old ways of living and live for Christ is by the power of His Holy Spirit. That's it. We were chosen first. He first chose us. That's another, really? Can't wrap my head around it, but I'll ask Him about it, you know, in heaven. Like, You really chose me first, huh? Does that mean You didn't choose other people? But you know, it's a question. He loves everyone. I know that. And it's His heart that we all live with Him eternally. Paul is saying that even he, a man that wrote most of the New Testament, a general of the faith, cannot fully obey God's law. Even when he did, evil was present with him. We just know that no matter what, we have evil present with us. So it's not, you're not as, I guess we're not as jacked up as we thought we were, right? It's the sin in us that it's that sin that jacks us up. That gives me a lot of hope. Now, I say that because I want you to focus on the real you, not that stupid sin that's attached to you, that stupid thing that draws you. I want you to focus on the real you, because the real you overcomes. Love overcomes all of that, and you're valuable, and you have something to share no matter what's going on in your life. You have something to give somebody else. That's love. That's hope. That's strength. That's a word of encouragement. That's a hug. That's a phone call that just say, you know what? I just want to tell you I love you today. That's being a light to this world. Meanwhile, everything in your life could be going south. But you're saying, you know what, God? You're God. And however this plays out is how it's going to play out. Use me today to bless your people. Use me today to bless somebody else's life. Use me today and encourage somebody else. You make me useful today for you. And you know what? I guarantee you your day is going to get better. I guarantee you those problems, although the same, just don't seem as big. They just don't seem as incredibly hopeless. That there's always hope in Jesus. And that'll change your whole perception. That will allow you to be that contributor. That will allow you to be there on a, like I said, a Tuesday at 12:30 at 7-Eleven, where somebody just needs a good word from God. You'll be able to give them that word. And there's nothing like being used by God to bless somebody else. It's awesome. It's like, wow, okay, I know what I'm here for. And that's, it could be the littlest thing you think, like you and I think, it's just a little thing. I just gave them a word of encouragement. I just called them and told them I love them today. That could have changed everything in their life. You have no idea if they were contemplating suicide or whatever. God uses us in gnarly ways like that, where we think we're just making a phone call, but really, we just saved somebody's life. And our life, I mean, if we bought into all the crap that was going on in our life, we wouldn't have made that phone call. Why? Because we feel defeated. Why? Because what am I going to give them? I don't have any encouragement for them. Look at my life. Look at the way I fail all the time. Look at the way I sin. No. No, we are slaves to Christ. We are His family. We are more than conquerors. We are anointed and filled with His Word, filled with His Holy Spirit, filled with His power. Remember that. Remember that. Amen? Oh, shoot, we're out of time. So listen. Joe's going to get into chapter 8. Chapter 8's rad, so come next week. All this stuff that I'm talking about, it all starts with asking Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. So if you never, if I asked you right now, if you die, if you walk out of this church, get hit by a car and die, are you going to heaven? And you can't tell me in my eyes, yes, I am going. Then I want you to pray with me. Because today's the day. And all these things apply. The freedom I'm talking about, it only applies in Christ. Making Him Lord of your life. Turning from the life without God and caring about Him to a life with Him. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it perfect. It just means I'm doing it with you, God. I did it without you. Now I'm going to do it with you. And I am going to learn your word to the best of my ability. I am going to pray. And I am going to, you know, exert my faith to the best of my ability. And we're all in different places. But I just want you to know, today's the day. Don't be scared. Nobody's taking a video of Facebook. Look, he gave his life to Jesus, everybody. Which would be okay, really. But I get it, you know. Don't wait, don't hesitate. If you've never given your life to Jesus or you've backslidden and you know you're not in right standing with Him, you just want to get right. It's not about Him because you are. He loves you. But let's get your heart right again. Say this prayer with me. Rededicate your life today. It's okay. You get to do that. That's how bomb Jesus is. You get to come right back in. Slide right in. Like nothing ever happened. That's a good God right there. I love you, Jesus. Thank you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate yourself, you want to rededicate your heart and just set it on the right track today, raise your hands. We're going to pray. I see your hands. I see your hands. Hands all over this church. Amen. Praise God. Church, repeat this prayer after me. Lord, Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive to me. I declare that I turn from my old ways and I turn to you. And I will live life with you to the best of my ability. So I declare, today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everybody. Let me pray for you real quick and I'll release you. Father God, shine your face on your people. May they be blessed this week, God. God, let them know that no matter what, they are powerful. They are full of your Spirit. They are full of your word. Give them opportunities to bless others this week, even in the midst of a trial, if that's the way it turns out, God. But bless them, and I thank you that you will keep them. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys.